Hello, creators. Welcome to the Money in XXX podcast, the podcast for creators by creators. We're brought to you by Minx Digital. You can check us out for all your creator course and marketing needs. And you can find us at minxdigital.com, MINXXXDigital.com, and follow us on all social channels at Minx Social, MINX Social, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. You can find us all there. I'm your host, Stella Sky, and today we are joined by Catherine, the only consultant. I'm really excited to have her here with me today. She actually helped me out with some questions and did a friend of mine, did her taxes last year, and I heard great things about her. So it's really awesome to be able to talk with you today, Catherine. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Catherine, how you got into this little niche that you find yourself in serving the sex workers of the United States?
Yes. And beyond. Yes.
And beyond. So, I was going to say world, but also like, I know you don't do taxes outside of that. I didn't want to reach too far, but yes, no, you do help beyond online as well.
Yeah, I try. I've had a lot of international creators reach out actually. But yeah, it's kind of a, you know, it's an interesting story how I got here. This is, I'm an accountant by trade. So I have a 4-year degree in accounting. I graduated from Niagara University, and then I went on to work in some CPA firms locally in my hometown of Buffalo, New York. And I did that for a couple of tax seasons. And I was like, okay, that was like a very soul sucking experience. Like I hated that. Like I am like not trying to do taxes. Like this is not my story. So the boy that I was dating at the time got a job in DC. So I followed him to DC. And I was working at a coffee shop. So I was like, I don't even care what happens to me. I'm not doing taxes. And then I was actually recruited by the intelligence community. I didn't know. I thought I was working for a tech company. And then once I started working there, I was keeping the books for like top secret projects in like an intelligence site. Yeah. So that was, while interesting and still not as dry as public accounting, I was like, okay, this is like still not my story. Like I'm not trying to be like top secret. So when the pandemic hit, I was spending a lot of time on social media, and I started moonlighting and taking social media marketing clients on Instagram. And then in the summer of 2020, I heard about OnlyFans, and I was like, what? Literally, what are OnlyFans? I've never heard of this. So I called my friend who I knew had a page. I was like, what is going on with this? She's like, oh my God, we're making $10,000 a month. Da, da, da. I'm like, what? And then instantly, just as an accountant, I was like, well, you know, everything that you do is a write-off. And she had no idea. And I was like, what? And so that's what sparked the idea. So I initially wrote for creators. And then I had people reaching out to me saying, I don't want an ebook. I want you to actually do my taxes. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not doing taxes, but I can tell you how to work. So I called the CPA firm that I used to work at in Buffalo. And I was like, boys, I got like a good idea for us. So I would outsource the returns to them, and I would take the clients, and I would find everyone on social media. And then, you know, as soon as I was marketing on TikTok for spicy tax preparation, judgment-free tax preparation, dancers found me, everyone under like the sex work umbrella, pretty much sugar baby beyond. And yeah, now it's been 3 years and it's just morphed into something else. And I love every day of my life because I feel like I'm working with my friends. Like you are a client. We are like,
yeah,
Pierce, we can just have like a normal.
I love it. How you found your, you know, your story, as you're saying, right? And I think, yeah, I think a lot of us find us in that position that, you know, early on you start a job and you're like, this is not what I thought I was doing. I don't know. I don't know who I thought I was. I love that story and helping out the community and just seeing how it's given back. Cool. Like, you know, to me, you are like the household name of taxes in this industry. I don't know. I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head that does something similar to what you do at all. So it's definitely a needed service.
Yeah. And I didn't realize how underserved the community was because I had never been exposed to anything spicy, really. I just hadn't. And then once I realized, once I got here and I was like, oh my gosh, like clients would call, you know, I took all my calls for free for a year so I could just genuinely learn how the industry works and what goes on. And that's where there was like a knowledge exchange then between my clients. It was basically like, I'll trade you 30 minutes of tax advice if you tell me all about your business and how it works. And that's how I learned all the niches within the umbrella. in the triple X world. Yeah.
I can totally relate. We kind of saw the same thing at Minx, like, you know, common marketing knowledge that's used in the business world, in the vanilla world, so to call it, you know, practices that are known and talked about, and just that is the way you do it. And it's kind of, it gets lost somewhere in translation to the sex work industry, you know, basic practices become secrets, you know?
Yes. And that's one big thing that I try to do all the time, is make sure nothing is gatekept. Like,
yes,
there is always free information available, at least accurate information. If you at least have no idea where to start, I can point you in the right direction if you become a client or not, for the sake of not gatekeeping.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. It's a great policy to have. So in that spirit, let's get some financial stuff. I'm curious to know, because you already told me, for myself, I need to have my separate accounts for my personal, my business, and even my separate businesses, each to have their own accounts. So can you tell me a little bit why it's so important for creators to separate those finances and the best practices for that?
Yes, definitely. This is actually my number one favorite topic, so I'm glad we're talking about it from the start. It's my favorite topic because it's very simple and it sets the foundation of your small business from here on out. This is like step one. I'm earning income on a 1099 or in cash for the first time ever. First thing you do, go start a separate bank account. It does not have to be a business checking account, meaning you do not need an LLC with it. It can just be a separate basic personal checking account at the same bank that you're at now. And you want to put all of your income into that account, because if you mix your business income, which is technically what you're earning when you're a 1099, with your personal income, if you mix that in the same bank account, it's actually an IRS red flag and that could trigger an audit.
Ooh.
Yes.
Good to know.
Yes. And it's like,
that's very motivating.
Yes. And it's like so simple to do, like just start a new bank account and like, and that's what you use. But let's talk about what happens if you're using the same account right now, because that's like what most people are in.
Yeah.
Just naturally, because you just don't think about it. So
you set up your account.
Yes,
OnlyFans automatically put it in there. Right. You don't really think about it. They don't say anything.
No, and honestly, they should. A disclosure, I think, would be nice.
Yeah.
They would actually be responsible on their part. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so because when you go to file your taxes as an independent contractor, the moral of your story is that you have to have your business income and expenses organized by business. Meaning, like, if you're a real estate agent and you're a spicy creator, then you need to have your income and expenses organized for both of those. And you need to have a separate bank account for each of those as well. And that sets the foundation of everything else, is just by opening the bank account, hooking up your OnlyFans to it, hooking up your Fansly, Chatterbait, if you're getting tips from your sugar daddy, if you work on the weekends at a club, literally all things spicy go into the spicy bank account. All spicy expenses come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the story on bank accounts, really.
Yeah. Do you have recommendations of specific banks that maybe are friendlier or tend to have a better reputation? Because I know I've heard stories about Chase and Bank of America halting people's accounts, withholding funds even.
Yes, that is all true. And this is also something that I had no idea was going on until I started working in this industry and clients were calling me with the same problems. I had no idea.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So my understanding, as an accountant and not a banking expert, is that in the fine print, literally of all bank accounts in the United States, it says nothing to do with the adult industry. Like, that's literally the fine print on your bank account. So what happens with these big banks, or any bank really, is that even if you're not flagged for spicy work from the top, but if, like, for some reason someone's scanning your account and they see a deposit from Phoenix and they know that that's associated with the adult industry, they're going to flag your account. This is what other bankers have explained to me, because I literally called over and I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, what's going on?
Yes. So I would stay away from very small credit unions. I'm talking to mm-hmm. creators who are in small towns in the Midwest, in the South. Don't go to your neighborhood credit union. They're not going to be understanding to your small business. If you're in that situation, then I would go with a big bank if you can. If it's between your credit union and Chase, go to Chase. Another thing is, make sure that your mailing address is always, always accurate on your bank's on your bank accounts and with the IRS, because that's where they're going to mail checks. If they do close your account, they're just going to mail you a check. And if it's to an address that you don't have access to anymore, like, you're in a very bad situation.
Yeah. Goodbye. Right. That's going to be rough. That's really good to know too.
Yeah.
Just in case, to safeguard it. Cause right, I think we all understand safeguarding, like, for example, a social media account, because that could get banned. Right. But do we think about safeguarding our bank account? Something that would be devastating to lose access to, you know, but yes. It happens. It's a reality.
Yes, definitely. And on that topic, I want to mention that you should have a bank account. I know a lot of creators sometimes don't have a bank account. They're doing everything out of Cash App. They're earning money in Cash App and they're using their Cash App card as a bank. That is very dangerous to do because that money is not protected. Like, Cash App is literally investing your money all day. It's not backed by anything. That's like very vulnerable funds. That's why you should have a bank account and not be using these third party payment platforms, because they're not intended to be used as a bank just for transfers.
Yeah. And not only that, yeah, it's not secure. You know, I just had a friend of mine, and you know, he does porn, but he had his phone stolen and somebody went into his phone and drained his Cash App account. And now that's something that he has to take up with Cash App. And you know, he's kind of at their mercy for that money. Thankfully, it wasn't a whole lot, but that's a possibility. So for example, if your phone was stolen and your stuff was in your banking app and it was connected to your Face ID or a password, somebody would not be able to get in there and drain that. But it would be a different story if all of your money was on Cash App as well. So yeah, that's important. That's really important to note. Have a bank account, have separate bank accounts. And then when it is time to do taxes, it's going to be a lot easier, as I understand it, to be able to just have that all in one place, ready to go. So why is it so important then that creators are filing their taxes? Because they're not employees, and maybe some people aren't even aware that they have to do that.
Yes. This is like the million-dollar question. Why should I file taxes in the first place? So first of all, you guys, let me tell you about the IRS. They're super petty. Okay. They will find you and they are not fucking around. Like, it is serious.
Their money.
Yes, they want their money. So when you're earning income through a subscription platform similar to OnlyFans, Fansly, whatever, any platform that you're using, if you're earning over $600, you get a 1099, which is a wage document from the IRS. You get a copy of this and the IRS gets a copy of this. It's issued by OnlyFans. Everyone knows there's a 1099 that exists. So OnlyFans, or the, you know, the IRS knows you have a 1099 for $100K. So they're looking for the tax on that because there's a clear record of it. If you're getting all these Zelle transfers and you're not claiming on your taxes, there's a record of it hitting your bank account. There's a record of it hitting your social security number. The IRS is looking for an explanation for all of this activity. So the first reason to file taxes is because if you don't, you're non-compliant with the IRS and they can seize your property. They can take money directly out of your bank account. They can make it so when you go to get a cash out from OnlyFans, it goes first to the IRS. Yeah. And eventually, like, you literally will go to jail. Eventually you will.
We don't want that. Let's avoid that, please.
It's like so dramatic, but it's literally that serious. And that's just at the state level. We're not talking about the state level. So depending on what state you're in, the states are even more petty than the IRS.
Yeah.
So the answer to your state and the federal government.
So happy I'm in Nevada. Lucky. Yeah. But yeah. I used to live in California and that was not so lucky. California likes their state tax for sure. So yeah, you have two taxes to worry about, federal and state returns. So that is something to think about as well. And then when it comes to doing taxes, right, there is the nice benefit of we also get to do our own write-offs because we're our own business. What kind of write-offs are commonly overlooked in this industry?
Yes. First of all, health insurance. Your health insurance is 100% a write-off if you cannot get health insurance through a W-2 job. So if you're a creator, you don't have a W-2, this is a write-off to you. LLC formation is a write-off. We can talk a little bit more about LLCs in a minute, but if you do form one, it's a write-off. Your tax preparations are write-off, paid promo, marketing, shout out for shout out, whatever you're paying a photographer, an assistant, even if your assistant or manager or photographer is international, it's still a write-off to you. You have responsibilities at the end of the year, depending on your contractor and where they are, but it's still a valid expense to you.
And I have a question about that. So if you are, you know, I had somebody do a logo for me this year, and how should I document paying people? For example, if I'm paying another creator for a shout for shout, how do I document this for my taxes?
This is a beautiful question. This is a great question. Yeah. This is something we see all the time we're doing bookkeeping. It's just like cash app transactions, and we don't know how to classify them. So you have to put it in the memo. If you have a spreadsheet that you're tracking your income and expenses in, if it's whatever, $200 Zelle payment, marketing expense to Shelly, whatever. And then if it's a collab, same thing. You have to write down what it's for and who it's going to. Because at the end of the year, between the calendar year, if you pay any other contractor over $600, which is very easy to do with assistants and managers and everything else, you owe them a 1099 at the end of the year. So the same document that you get from OnlyFans, if you
to are a single contractor, yeah,
exactly. Now you have to file it.
Oh, so now we're talking about having our own. Yeah, that's important to know too. Because yeah, if you have a photographer that you're using all the time, that would be very easy to go over $600 within a year. I mean, even if you a graphic artist, that could easily run you over $600 a year. So that's really good to know. How do you have resources on how somebody can go about filing a 1099 for their own contract employee? Or yes. Non-contract employee?
Yes. So the first thing you want to do before they start any work is complete form W-9. You can find this on the IRS website. This is the information you need to produce the 1099. So let's say you start working for me today. I say, okay, as your onboarding paperwork, complete this W-9. This is the same one you complete on OnlyFans. And then at the end of the year, I'm going to say, okay, I recorded that I paid you $2,000. So the 1099 is due by January 31st of the following year. So my 1099 to you is due January 31st, 2024. It's going to have all of the information that's on the W-9, and it's going to be for $2,000. That's an expense to me, and now it becomes income to you. So now you would pick it up in your own
spot. Yeah. And that's important. It sounds like a lot of work, but remember, it's important because then it gets to be a write-off. If you're doing it under the table, you don't get to claim that. So going about it, even though it's a little more work to get that 1099 and do that, it's worth it in the end. And it makes your business stronger against an audit or anything like that, correct?
That's what I was going to bring up about audits is like, so not filing a 1099 is probably not a reason you'd get audited. You probably wouldn't get audited for just that. But if you get audited and you have all these, you know, crazy expenses that are not really expenses, let's say like a bunch of cosmetic surgery and clothes and hair extensions you wrote off. So if they audit you for the high expenses and they audit your whole return and look at your Schedule C, your profit and loss statement, and they say, wait, you took a contractor expense of $5,000, but you didn't issue any 1099s. You checked the box at the top that said, but I don't see your 1099s. There's like a huge fee for that per 1099 that you should have issued. Like they're petty, you guys. Not worth it. We can set you up 1099s for like $100. We can just yeah. Give us information. We can just file it for you.
And you also kind of briefly mentioned the spreadsheet, because I've been using your spreadsheet since you sent it over and I love it. I had other stuff already like documented, but then I went through like my whole bank, every transaction and went through things because I was being a bad girl and mixing my personal and business because I didn't expect it to make money. I was unprepared for that aspect. So you know, a word to the wise, if you are just starting out, you can do it usually online, making that checking account, making that extra account. It's so easy to do. There's no reason not to do it. Don't do what I did.
Yes.
Or you'll be sifting.
Ally. That's a good one to start online. Ally is a very easy one to start. You can really start it right
Ally.
Now.
Yeah. And then you won't have to sift through pages and pages of transactions, which is not fun to do for months at all.
No, it's not. It's tedious, but it's not unmanageable. Like
totally.
You can do it, but
it is tedious. Yes.
Activity.
I'm doing it. I'm proof that you can do it. I managed to get all the way up to August, you know, from the beginning of this year. So it's possible. You can do it. Just you need, I personally need to print things out and highlight them. That is what I have to do. So whatever works for you, find your method and just sit down for a couple hours, maybe several hours, and get it done. Other than kind of the 1099 and also those mixing practices, are there any other kind of pitfalls that are specific kind of to this adult content creation that people should be aware of?
Wow. Let's see. Where should I start? I just want to triage my tips to make sure that I'm giving everyone the best information. Okay, here's like some things you should know. Like, I'm just gonna like give you a bunch of facts. Basically, this is like things I'm just gonna give you a bunch of facts. The home office expense is another one that's missed a lot. If you're using a portion of your home for business, which many creators are, then a portion of your rent and your utilities are a write-off. So how that works is if your apartment is 1,000 square feet and your bedroom is 100 square feet, that's where you're creating content. That's 10% of your living space. So then 10% of your rent and your utilities become a write-off.
And I remember reading something from you saying you have to be very exact with that.
Yes. And in expenses in general, you have to be so exact with, like, when you're recording your expenses, the IRS wants to see $97, $51, and $5, not rounded. They don't want to see 100, nothing like that. Like, think about when you purchase goods, it's not in round numbers. So you have to be very exact. That's something that could trigger an audit. I want to talk about LLCs, and there's a big common misconception that LLCs equal tax savings, and they don't. You can still take all of these business expenses that we've been talking about if you have an LLC or not. An LLC stands for limited liability company. So it protects your personal liability if you're sued or if you go bankrupt.
Yeah.
So that's like something to know. So if you're in a, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, you know, how, like, thinking about how likely it is to be sued as a content creator, like if you're all online, just to put that in kind of on the scales to weigh your decision on how urgent it is that you should go and file an LLC, or, you know, if it's truly worth it to you, you know, that is something to consider. Maybe, I don't know.
Yes, that's true. Yes. So it really depends on your business. So if you are creating content by yourself, you don't travel, you're not using any contractors, you're a one-man show, and, you know, you're grossing $80,000 a year, you probably don't need an LLC. It sounds like you're totally fine. If you are in a contract with a management company, if you are in a contract with a brand deal, anything like that, if you're in any contracts whatsoever, now your business just changed. Those contracts should be between your LLC and the other person, so that if something goes bad, if you're sued, then they're suing your LLC and not you. They're not coming for your home. They're coming right. for your LLC bank account.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the difference between them being able to get your personal money or being able to just get business money. And, you know, me personally, I don't know if you remember, but I also do personal training, which is something that potentially people could sue me in. So it's in my best interest to have LLCs to protect and separate my funds. So should somebody sue me for hurting them in the gym, not that I would, but then they would only be able to come after the money that I've made through training business.
Yes, exactly. And if you did have an LLC for your spicy stuff, you'd have to have two. You shouldn't run multiple businesses under the same LLC. You should have a different one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, you know, just gotta have multiple businesses and be a super boss lady or a man.
Yes.
How much roughly, just to like kind of prepare, should creators be putting aside for their taxes from every monthly payout that they're getting?
Yes. So I have a very general high level rule that you can follow and you can adjust based on your business. So my suggestion is that you deposit 100% of your spicy income into the bank account. Like I said, that's Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, OnlyFans, the works. Then transfer 25% immediately to savings. This is going to be for your tax bill. So you can do that at the end of the month if you want. And then keep 25% in the bank account. So that way, when you go to make a purchase or for a business expense, there's money in the account. You can transfer 50% to your personal account. That's how you're paying yourself out.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. That's actually, I've been doing 30. I've been playing it super safe.
Yeah, 30 is super safe. Like, but it depends, right? It depends. Are you in cosplay? Because then you have higher expenses for your costumes. Maybe instead of 25% expenses, you need 35% because that's just the nature of your business. Or maybe whatever, you hardly have any expenses. So you only need to put 10% in there because it's just a VPN.
Whatever. Yeah. So change, adjust those percentages to what your needs are as a creator. Everybody's going to be a little bit different if you're traveling a lot, right? That's another thing to consider. Yes. Okay. I've got kind of a out of the blue question. If people buy you gifts, you have like an Amazon list or something, does that come into play at all in taxes or what do those do?
This is a big hot topic as well. And it's very case by case. Everyone's tax situation is different. So I can give you we can have a high level discussion about this. So if someone's purchasing you a gift from your Amazon wish list, that seems to be truly a gift to me, right? You have a wish list. They're literally purchasing the gift to you. They're literally giving it to you. It's an exchange. They're not looking for anything back. But gifting in the industry also refers to interactions with a sugar daddy too. And this is where the line becomes a little blurry because it's an emotional connection and exchange can be your main source of income. You can be getting paid regularly. If your sugar daddy gives you $3,000 on the second Tuesday of every month, now that starts to look like a business, and that's when I suggest claiming the income.
Aha. Okay. And that also made me think like on OnlyFans, for example, sometimes you're tipped, sometimes people buy content and a tip is kind of like a gift too, but OnlyFans doesn't care. It's all income. So that's something kind of think about it maybe in that way. If it's something regular or taking place alongside other transactions. And then, if it's an item that's been purchased for you, more gift. What about a car? What if somebody gave you a car?
That's property. That's going to be taxable. Same thing with the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's, sugar daddies.
Oh, I've seen it happen. I've seen sugar daddies put like $500,000 in a trust. Like I've seen really big amounts. Yeah. There's a lot, but it's all very unique. Everyone has a very unique relationship with their sugar daddy, So it's like, Some girls get 1099'd from their sugar daddy. If he's an executive somewhere, they just 1099, and then she has legal income now, and now it's something else. Or all the payments in Zelle, all the payments in cash. You want to make sure it's getting into your bank account. Like, there's so many nuances to this stuff. There's a lot of nuances here.
Yeah, I didn't even think about some of these. And filing a 1099 for your sugar baby is wild.
Yes. Yes, I've actually done tax consultations with girls and their sugar daddies.
Together.
Yeah.
I support that relationship.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's caring about her future, caring about her, standing with the IRS. I love that, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. You make this all work for you. You just got to play within the games. Like, there's a system. Like, don't work for the system. Make the system work for you. Just learn the rules and make it work. If your sugar daddy wants to pay for your tax bill, let him.
Yeah. Why not? You just should.
Yeah.
So for more like financial planning end of things, because it's so fluctuating, sometimes you're making a lot of money in a month. Sometimes it's a really low month. You're not getting a lot of traffic to your site. The club is slow. How do you suggest that creators and dancers and the like with this kind of income, how do you suggest they prepare for that kind of fluctuation?
So if you keep with the original percentages that I talked about before, so if you go by percentages for savings, instead of saying, I'm going to save $2,000 a month for taxes, if you're saving percentages, that corresponds to how much you're earning. So you're actually playing along, like you're caught up already because you're working in percentages and not flat numbers. So
excellent.
That's one. Yeah. So if you make $1,000 a month, and
it's
you save
so simple. 50. You blew my mind with the most simplest thing. I was like, of course you should be saving percentages. Because I don't know, you're always kind of taught, I was from a young age, like, you know, put $100 in a bank account. And it's always like this finite amount that you should be saving every month. But really, percentages makes way more sense. And it keeps you on that level. I love that. Oh, my gosh. That's a gem.
I mean, like, there's, you know, definitely you can make a projection and a spreadsheet and a budget. And like, that's all real. And we can help you set up all those things. But like, baseline, work off of percentages.
Yeah. Spreadsheets. I've been getting more and more into ever since yours inspired me to make more spreadsheets of my own. I had like a big income one, but I've been really like, you know, don't dismiss doing spreadsheets. Like, try and learn them and how they can help you figure out percentages of your open rates of your messages. It doesn't just have to be finances. So there's a lot of value in a good spreadsheet.
There is.
Yes. And so for creators, you know, maybe we have a little extra money in our income. We're having a good month. Are there some investments that you would consider safe and rewarding for creators?
So I will say this is not my number one forte is investments. I can refer you to financial planners as a base thing, like step one, what should I do? Open up a SEP IRA that will help you on your taxes. SEP-IRA. If you need a financial planner, I can connect you and they can set you up.
Yes. Excellent. I'm planning for that future. And I guess, I have had an IRA for a while, but I don't have a SEP. What do you know? Are you able to speak on like what makes the SEP in particular the way to go?
It's made for self-employed individuals. So it's an IRA that's geared towards people that are earning income on a 1099.
Excellent. Yes. All right. And then as far as if we can learn from others' mistakes, what's the biggest financial mistake you've seen another creator make and how do we not make that mistake?
The first thing that comes to my head is getting into some of these contracts with managers that you can't get out of and you end up splitting more of your revenue than you intended to.
Oh, yeah. We did the math. And if you have a company taking 50% of your revenue after OnlyFans takes their share, the government takes its share, you actually make 27 cents on the dollar. And if you realize that too late, that the return on investment for that is not enough for you, and you've signed a contract of, you know, you're exclusive or they'll wipe your account of all that stuff. So be very cautious when reading those contracts. Do your research because there are genuine agencies in this world. There are. There's also a lot of people looking to rip you off. And that is definitely one. Yeah, make sure you're not in a contract that you can't get out of. Absolutely. Are there any other kind of mistakes that you've seen? Or maybe how about a unique one?
I mean, I had a client who did not take enough business expenses. She made probably like $300,000 and she only wrote off like $5,000 in expenses. So it's actually not, it literally doesn't make sense the other way. It's like, how did you generate $300,000 with $5,000 in expenses? It doesn't even make sense. So she called me and we went through her last year's tax returns and we went through her bank statements and we found valid expenses for her, more expenses, and she ended up getting back $25,000.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Wasn't writing off the percentage of her phone bill. She wasn't writing off the percentage of her rent. I don't remember the details on it, but there's a lot of things that she missed that you should be using a tax professional for because there's loopholes and there's the tax code is so thick. Like, we have to stay up on it. It's much better to that to make sure that everything's optimized.
Yeah. And I mean, that kind of goes for like, you don't want to have to learn how to be an accountant. Like, it does make sense to have somebody who's an expert go through it for you. They can do the best job for you. And it is a write-off as well. And then you said like the percentage was kind of off. What's a good percentage that we're looking for in terms of income to write-offs or work expenses?
I mean, I would say this is, again, super high level. Everyone's taxes are different, but around, you know, 20 to 30%, I think is very reasonable. That is very, very reasonable. And another point I want to make is that filing your taxes is purchasing power later, and banks and mortgages are looking at your profit and not your gross, meaning they're looking at the number that you've earned after your expenses. That's the number that they're basing off of for you to get a mortgage, not how much you earned on OnlyFans total.
Yeah. Oh, that's really important too. And that's also why all of this is so important, is because I'm sure most of us have plans to one day buy property, one day buy a home. Maybe you're trying to buy a car, and those are all things that you're going to have to be able to show the bank and show these institutions that, yes, I make money. And you can trust me with a loan. That's another great point about why it's so important to be documenting this and not just, you know, hoping it goes away. You'll want this.
Yes. Yes. It's a long-term game. Obviously it sucks up front to pay taxes. Like, I'm not going to sit here and preach like, yeah, it's great when you cut a check to Uncle Sam. Like, it sucks. But that's how the system's set up. If you want to do anything, they got us where they want us. They're literally going to take the money out of your account. You won't be able to get a credit card or a house or anything.
Yeah. 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 It's just the, you know, there's pluses and minuses to working for an employer. There's pluses and minuses to working for yourself. And maybe it's not for you. It's something to weigh, because I had this conversation before about how, like, basically you're your own HR, right? So if something is not sitting well with you mentally, or you're needing a break or something like that, it is up to you to do that. You don't have somebody who is being paid to essentially, you know, look out for your health and well-being. It's, you got to keep this in mind, that you are every piece of your business.
I totally agree. Totally. And organizing your income and your expenses is part of that responsibility. Like, that, it's just something you have to do. Find a system that works for you though. If you open up a spreadsheet and it makes you queasy, don't use a spreadsheet then, because you're in charge. So put it on paper, keep it on a whiteboard. People write everything out by hand and scan it to me. That's fine. I literally just need to see the total. I need to see that your costume expense was $1,602. You need to keep the receipts in case you're ever audited, but that's enough information for me. So, you know, you're empowered as a business owner to have your
totally. Systems. Yeah. Work. I get made fun of all the time by people who are not creators about how much, you know, paper notes I keep. I feel like a lot of creators are pen and pad people, and, you know, that's fine. That works. Just make it work with the system that is already in place. Yeah. And then kind of in that vein also, you know, what are differences, like the key differences between being an employee or being a freelance work for yourself person, in terms of, are there benefits to one over the other, and what are those?
Mm-hmm. So from the top, if you're an employee, that means you're earning a W-2. We're very familiar with W-2s. It's how, you know, if you're an employee anywhere, it's what you're getting. Then 1099 is what you're getting if you're an independent contractor / sole proprietor / freelancer. Those are all the same. When you earn a W-2 and you're working for someone, there's withholding on that income. Meaning, like, if you make $30 an hour, you know, when you get paid, you only got $27 an hour in your paycheck. That's because your employer is literally withholding your tax for you every paycheck, every step of the way. So because that's happening, you can't take expenses, because, like, everything's set up for you. You're taken care of. You're part of a company. Your employer's paying the taxes for you. When you're self-employed, you just get a cash out. If you make $1,000 on OnlyFans, it just gets direct deposit into your account. It's $1,000. There's nothing withheld on it. So that's why you should anticipate to owe on your taxes. That is the standard thing that happens when you're earning a 1099. That's just the nature of it. That's why you have to be planning in the background, because no employer is planning for you. You are the employer.
Yeah, it's you. You yes. Got to do that planning. Yeah, absolutely. Are there any kind of changes coming on the horizon that might affect people in the sex work industry. That's tax changes to taxes, financial or tax changes.
Yeah, that's a good question. They say every year that they're going to start issuing 1099-Ks for these third-party payment apps, which means that if you have over $600 activity on Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, not Zelle, but you would essentially get a 1099. It would be the same document that you're getting from OnlyFans. They said it was going to happen last year, but then at the last minute they said no. They said they're going to delay it 1 year. So allegedly, this upcoming year is here. We'll find out probably more towards the beginning of how that's going to go. So that's one thing that could affect you. This is something small, but the standard mileage rate changes every year. So that's, you know, however you're driving for business, you should be tracking your miles, and that slightly changes every year. So if it's like 65 and a half cents per mile this year, like maybe next year might be like 66 and a half cents per mile. So you'll be getting back quite a more per mile. Yeah.
Yeah. To go with inflation a little bit. Yeah. PayPal was withholding some money until I gave them my social. They were like, so I don't know. It looks like PayPal is definitely going to go through with it. They were felt brave enough to withhold my money until I gave them my social information.
Yes. Well, with PayPal, actually, depending on what spicy platform you're using, I know a lot of the platforms will cash out into PayPal, like Curbage, for example, cashes out into PayPal. And then instead of getting a 1099 from Curbage, you get a 1099 from PayPal for Curbage. So now that's like another like thing to think about here is that.
Yeah.
Your self-employment income could actually be coming from someone else.
Right. That's interesting too, also, because if you are doing a platform that pays out into PayPal and then you're paying that into your bank account, that could offer potentially insulation on the bank account, not flagging something like a Phoenix payment or something like that. So that is something to think about. I don't know. Just an interesting connection there. So if you are extra cautious, or maybe your bank has already talked to you or something like that, or that could potentially be something to think about. Okay.
Yes. And whatever fees you get in PayPal, like transferring into your bank account, if it's going from Curbage to PayPal to your bank account and you, whatever, you get 100% fees, the fees are right off to you.
Oh, thank God. I needed to know that. Oh my gosh. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, definitely. PayPal takes money. They're not my favorite. Yeah, PayPal's expensive.
They're safe. Yeah. They're charging you for it. They know what they're offering. Definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that kind of statement goes for a lot of places that you're getting paid out. You know, if it's not as convenient, it's probably a little safer. They're doing their due diligence. For example, Cash App, very easy, very fast. Not as safe.
Exactly. And Venmo is like cousins of PayPal. So that's a safer option. Yeah.
Yeah. And Venmo, I think also is doing, they were telling me, they gave me a little notification about over $600 of transactions. They're letting us know, that's for sure. So if you're using any of those apps, they've probably let you know already. So you have a whole bunch of resources of your own on your website. That's the Only Consultant.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
Yes. And in addition to that, can you recommend books, websites, software, maybe? I don't know how you feel about QuickBooks.
Yeah.
That might help our audience manage their finances better.
Yes. So like you said, on my website, I have the free spreadsheet. I have ebooks. I also have an ebook on data security and taxes for creators, because that's like a whole other podcast, literally, is like keeping your identity safe. So I have some stuff about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's really important.
Yes. And I have an FAQ section, a blog section, like a lot of common questions, like go there first, start there. As far as apps for expense tracking, you can just hook one up to your separate bank account. QuickBooks is definitely the gold standard. Accountants love QuickBooks, but it's not always the most user-friendly experience. So another app that's really popular with clients is called KeeperTax. Clients love KeeperTax. Yeah, I've never used it personally, but I think it's very user-friendly. Also, Truebill is another. I think Expensify, Shoebox, all apps like that you can use to track your income and expenses. What else? You can actually read things on the IRS website. Like, it's gross, it's not pretty, but you can actually read the IRS tax law and you can read for yourself what they're saying. Like, you can go through,
they got everything on there. That's for sure. If you want to download all your documents, or definitely there have been, not now, but in years past, where I do the filing free through the IRS itself, where they let you, they have their own free resources. So you don't necessarily have to do the ones that are paid. There are free resources if you make under a certain amount of income. It's around 60K, I believe.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Something around there, something around 65K or something in that range that you can still file for free.
Yeah. Another thing,
don't
on the
quote
IRS
me.
Website, you can sign in to your, it's called ID.me. This is like a new portal within the IRS. You can sign in there and, like, let's say you have to file 3 years of taxes, because it happens all the time that you're behind on your taxes, and you lost all of your 1099s and W-2s for those years, you can sign into your ID and me. You can download your IRS wage transcripts from 2021 and 2022. It'll literally give you a report right then and there of what the IRS has on their end and what they're looking for. And you can
get
your accountant with your expenses, and you can file your taxes.
That's excellent. Especially, you know, maybe you moved or something like that, and your W-2s, if you're employed, or maybe things got sent to a different address, you don't have it. That's a good resource. That's happened to me personally, actually. So yeah. I wish I knew that.
Same.
Totally.
Yeah. You can change your address. You can change your mailing address on the IRS website in that portal, so it never happens again.
Also excellent. Yeah. Amazing. And then what about for our people who like to read books? Are there any books people can read to help become more financially literate?
I like, I read Psychology of Money. That was a very good one. Unrelated, but a very good book on entrepreneurship that I read that I would recommend is called Shoe Dog. It's a biography about the guy who started Nike, and it's like a complete startup. And it was honestly a shit show for the first couple of years. And it's like a very inspiring book because he's so big now. So I would recommend that as well.
I like it. And how can everybody get in touch with you for more tailored financial advice or taxes?
Yes, you can find me on my website, theonlyconsultant.com. You can also visit me on my socials, which is the_only_consultant. And my name is Catherine Studley. I'm on LinkedIn, different articles I'm around. You can email me, Catherine@theonlyconsultant.com.
Excellent. Thank you for being on, Catherine. I hope this was illuminating for our audience. It was for me. I definitely had like 4 different light bulbs go off today, making some connections and things that I need to do. Every time I talk to you, my to-do list grows. So thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you being on with us. And everybody go follow the Only Consultant. She is an excellent resource. I can't recommend her enough.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Take care, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Money in XXX podcast. We are brought to you by Minx Digital. You can find all our socials, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at Minx Social, M-I-N-X Social. I'm your host, Stella Sky. Thank you for listening with us today, and looking forward to our next podcast.